Longtime Arizona Senator John McCain passed away 2 years ago, but his impact continues to be felt during this campaign season. His widow, Cindy, publicly proclaimed her support for the Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden because of a deep family friendship. And President Trump's comments earlier this year that were critical of members of the military harkened back to insults he had thrown McCain's way. But McCain's willingness to cross the aisle to work with Democrats, even as he remained a staunch Republican, is a philosophy many voters say they'd like to see more of in the dramatically divided American political scene. Mark Salter, McCain's longtime staffer and co-author, has written a new biography about the late senator. It's called The Luckiest Man, Life with John McCain, and he's with me to talk about it. Mark, McCain appeared to some to be one of the most interesting and complicated people they'd ever come across. Would you describe him that way?
He had an interesting nature. There was a lot of dualities to his nature, and I think a lot of those sort of sprang from his experience in which he experienced the worst and the best in humanity in the very same experience when he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And I think that made him kind of a romantic about his causes, of which there were many, and a cynic about the world, which was an interesting way to make your way in this world.
How vital was it to him to be in the arena? That was a phrase we heard him use a lot.
I don't think he could have thrived any other way. He used to joke, a fight not joined is a fight not enjoyed. But he loved to be, he loved the cut and thrust of politics, of policy debates. He tried not to take it personally, and I think succeeded most of the time. He felt passionate about the things he believed in, and he never minded a good, some of the guys he got along with best, like Ted Kennedy and Joe Biden on the other side of the aisle, he fought ferociously with sometimes, but they were good friends, and he respected each of them and others, for believing as passionately and that they were doing right by the country as he did. He told me once he has this lasting image from a Pearl Harbor day. His father was stationed at a submarine base in Connecticut, New London, Connecticut. And he was playing outside. John, little five-year-old John, I guess, at the time, was playing outside of their house when a black sedan pulled up and a naval officer yelled, "Jack, the Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor." And his father grabbed a bag, threw some clothes in it, and left. And he, although they did see each other a few more times, he doesn't really remember seeing much of his father until the end of the war after that. And he said, "To me, that black sedan was history, and it had come to collect my dad." And he wanted that kind of experience for himself, to be, to affect, his times, the history of his times. And I think he succeeded.
When you mention how, he recognized his shortcomings and his flaws, how was he able to fight through all that and not wallow in self-pity, guilt, shame, whatever it was?
He believed passionately that in the sort of the American project, the exercise to prove that self-government is the only moral government and that all human beings are entitled to it. And he fought for all his public life for that. As long as he dedicated himself and took risks, and sacrificed his own self-interest for the sake of others, he felt that redeemed you from those things. And I don't want to say he had a lot of things to atone for. I don't think he believed he did either. But we all make mistakes in our lives, and we all have flaws in our character or personality. And he felt that what made him so lucky was that he got to serve these causes so much greater than his self-interest that would allow him to sort of redeem himself from those failures.
Mark, let me ask a couple of political questions.
Sure.
How much did Senator McCain change from 2000 campaign, when he was sort of the upstart? George W. Bush had all the money, and what was Senator McCain doing, almost beating him early on there? And then when he became the front runner or the candidate that was supposed to carry the mantle for the Republican Party in 2008?
Well, there's a great liberty in being a pronounced underdog. And I think 2000 was sort of, well, let's just go out and try to have some fun with this thing and say what I feel like saying, and what I believe in. And people warmed to that. He was so refreshingly candid and authentic. When you're the front runner, as he started off and as he eventually became again, you're supposed to raise the most money. When you're not, you're failing. It kind of tightens you up. You have responsibilities for people down ballot too. And, maybe you're not so free and easy, as you might otherwise be. He did, fortunately or unfortunately, go from being the front runner in 2008 to being a decided underdog again when the campaign sort of imploded in the summer of 2007. And he fought his way up, and I was privileged enough to be around while he did it. You know, just a small group of New Hampshire voters at a time, you know, making the case for the surge. He decided to link his fortunes to the surge in Iraq, which he strongly believed was the right course of action, and even though it was very unpopular in New Hampshire and elsewhere. And he fought for it. People recognized he was sincere, and little by little he built his crowds back up and ended up winning the primary and then eventually the nomination. So it does affect you. And it was, I think if he were here, he would sort of allow that it wasn't his favorite presidential campaign, that 2000 probably was. But as he often said, even before he made the decision to run again in 2008, I just don't think I can bottle lightning twice. And maybe that's the case. But
that 2008 concession speech at the Biltmore was one of the finest moments for a lot of people they'd ever seen him have.
Yeah, it was an important moment, and he knew it was an important moment for the country, and he always wanted to meet the moment in situations like that. So we had talked in advance about what he might say. He was a superstitious fellow, so even though he knew he was going to lose, he didn't want me to write it until we had evidence of that and actual data coming in from exit polls, and which puts a lot of pressure on a speechwriter, I got to tell you. But we had sort of had a working outline in mind that he had discussed with me at some length before that. And I thought memorable, and how he gave it so evidently sincere, and wishing not only Obama the best, but recognizing what an important cultural moment it was for America, and applauding it himself in his own way. And I thought that was just sort of quintessential McCain patriotism.
We've seen, obviously, Cindy McCain, because of a long friendship, come out in favor of Vice President Biden. President Trump has said lousy things about Senator McCain over and over and over again. Did Senator McCain give him much mind?
All we have to go on is the historical record here, and that he didn't vote for Trump in 2016. He made that clear. He didn't like Trump. He thought Trump was, kind of a clown. Hardly a day passes when I don't wish he were here to weigh in, because he would have had an effect and he would have influenced some of his colleagues, I think. But he's not, and it's up to us to be forthright about what we think about Donald Trump and to try to stop him from doing any more damage.
That is Mark Salter, longtime John McCain co-author and political advisor. We've been talking about his brand new book, The Luckiest Man, Life with John McCain. Mark, thanks so much for the time. Fascinating. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on.